Good Morning Wisconsin. So let's pour that coffee and talk to some experts about what's going on in Milwaukee, Madison, Washington, and beyond. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's the Political Power Hour on WTMJ. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Should we talk about the government?
As I often do, I say yes to that question. Good morning, happy hump day to those, all of those of you who celebrate. A winter mix is our forecast, but ignore that. We're going to talk about tariffs this first half hour. I have a question for all of you. I'm going to play some clips. I'm going to make a point about tariffs, which maybe the President, Donald J. Trump, hasn't thought about, or perhaps he should be thinking about. My question is this. Given what you've experienced in the early days of the Trump second administration, are you yay or nay on tariffs? And you can sort of clarify, classify that response any way you want to. The WTMJ Siding Unlimited Talks and Tech Talk and text line, rather, is wide open, 855-616-1620. Yay, tariffs, good idea, this tariff war. Yay, Trump, that's one side. The other side, nay, no, don't like it, killing my 401k, making things more expensive. That's our question for the first half hour. We're going to have Dr. Ken Harris join us. Second half hour, talking about the crime numbers in Milwaukee. Some good, some bad. And Dr. Ken will give us his always interesting take on crime in Milwaukee coming up about 9:35. And then, just quickly, because I don't want to spend too much time right now, in the 10 o'clock hour, it's back. It's back. Ask Steve anything. I'll even get off politics if you really want to. Let's not get too many tomato questions, because it's too early for that yet. Too early for that, yeah. So let's avoid the tomato questions, but ask Steve anything. We'll tee up your questions and may even take a phone call or two. Producer Jaslyn's going, I don't want to take phone calls. She's got enough work to do back there. I don't want to do that, but
I wouldn't mind.
I might make her do it, because that's the mood that I'm in today. And I'm in a good mood, even though we're going to talk about tariffs. All right. As I've said over and over again, the tariff question is an interesting one. There's complexity to it. Most people don't even know what tariffs are. And I will baseline it for you in the second segment. I'll start with that. But here's the thing. I'm more interested and fascinated in the response to tariffs. Now, I've said for a while, at least a few weeks, how Republicans, especially allies of Donald Trump, President of the United States, look at this issue matters. Why does it matter? Because that's where the votes are. And there's a lot of heavy lifting that the Trump White House, Donald Trump, president, wants to get done as far as his agenda for the country and for his presidency. So I grabbed a little piece of audio. I believe that Glenn Grothman joined Wisconsin Afternoon News with John McCure and Julia Fellow yesterday. Just a little bit of that, just to start my conversation.
I don't want it to become a long-term tax on the American people used to balance the budget. That'd be a mistake. I'm a little nervous until we see how it shakes out. I think everybody's a little bit nervous.
That is Wisconsin Congressman Glenn Grothman, frequent guest on the program, and a guy who I enjoy talking to. And maybe if you heard that, I'll probably call, because he loves to call the show. He's the only person, by the way, in the history of my WTMJ career who's joined me two interviews on the same program, about 5 minutes apart. Only person that's ever done that, which is, I thought was fascinating. But he had something else to say, and I don't even know what we were talking about. All right, so you heard Congressman Glenn Grothman. Key points there. How is this going to shake out? Use those exact words. How is this going to shake out? Because we're all feeling the pain. Markets down significantly in the early months of the second Trump administration. Anyone who has a 401k, savings and investments, all that stuff taking a beating, unless you're in a CD or a savings account, which pays you almost nothing, you're not taking the heat, but you're also not making money when the market goes up, which it always does. And our friend Dave Spano on the show earlier this week makes that point always. And it's always been a long-term play to be smartly invested with, i.e. the help of a great financial planner like Annex Wealth Management. So that's Glenn Grothman talking about his sort of wait and see. We got a little bit of Rojo. Now, this was captured from Up Front, Channel 12, Matt Smith, who joined us on Monday, his interview with Ron Johnson on the same issue, tariffs.
I think President Trump is well aware
of the fact that there's going to be some pain. I don't know what his pain tolerance is. He ran to make sure that he tamed inflation. I don't think he's going to let this go so far if it starts impacting the price of goods significantly. So, again, it's a bold and risky move here.
So that's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Now, as the president has rolled out these tariffs, we've seen responses from other countries. China tariff, 104% now. If you're buying anything, and we are, if not the biggest, second biggest consumer of Chinese products in the world, those just got hella lot more expensive, to use a slang. Significantly more expensive to buy. And we like things from China. Whatever you think about that relationship, many things that you think you're buying. Hell, Trump's merchandise, most of it's made or tailored or produced in China. And they don't tell you that part of the story. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Yay, support the president's on tariffs. No, not helping. Killing my 401k. Nay is the answer. 855-616-1620. Lots to get to on the program today. We're here to 11. Bonus hour, of course, this week on the greatest, biggest stick in the state, 620 WTMJ.
He's like the pit bull that caught the car. What are you going to do with the car? He's got these foreign nations up to the lick log, as they say on a farm. What do we do next?
One of our U.S. senators, Kennedy, I believe, is the name of that senator, talking about some of the things that are happening live as we all watch this unfold. Tariffs. Here's the other piece about the Donald Trump thing, and I got a couple of phone calls, lots of texts, and I'll tell you the text line is somewhat surprising to me, so I'll give you that take in a second. Donald Trump, President of the United States, is now suggesting that he knows how to run Apple better than Tim Cook, the CEO. He's suggesting they could bring all their productions to the United States. First of all, companies aren't required to do that unless you're going to make them do it, which would be seriously an overreach by the President of the United States. But two, those things take time. And Donald Trump will be well out of office before the buildings required to do all of this production, for the people to be hired, would ever be in place to actually make this a real scenario. So it's sort of a fantastical equation on behalf of the president to make this all work. So I said I'd mention the text line. I've got a couple yays, but overwhelmingly, and I'm scrolling through the pages here, it's a no, it's a nay on the tariffs. From the 920, great article this morning on CNBC. No clear off-ramp. 87% of all Christmas gifts were bought from China. That does all the lights. And the last time I checked, America loves their Christmas lights. I've done a whole If Steve Ruled the World's on Christmas. Trust me, we love our lights. I should bring that back. Professor Jazza, she's giving me the look today. Like, no, we're not doing that. Oh, hold that thought. All right, this has been a long time coming. So Vincent from Lannan, all the pressure's on you. Yay or nay on the tariffs?
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Nay on the tariffs.
Tell me
why. The fact is, the retirees like myself, thousands of retirees like myself, who are seeing their retirement nest egg being gutted right now. And the fact is that we don't have time to make this up. The fact is, certainly if you're younger, yeah, certainly you can kind of wait out the market and see, you know, the market kind of goes up and down. But when you have a retirement nest egg, your the values that you put into it are seeing being gutted. No, the tariffs are just destroying it. The fact is, the farmers in this country, who are for the second time under this administration, is being destroyed as well. The fact is that when we had to bail them out the last time President Trump was president, mm-hmm. we had to come back and bail the farmers out because he destroyed their industry. And so, no, the tariffs are no good. And the fact is, there's no off-ramp. We're just sitting here hoping a prayer that this is going to work out. And even if it does, the prices are going to go up regardless. Even if companies come back, the fact is that they're going to raise their prices because they have to pay more for for infrastructure. They have to pay more for employees. The fact is the prices for everything are going to still go up.
Good response. So, got to let you go there, Vincent, but well thought out. And that's a very common refrain, and I've said this before, that those of us who are at or near retirement, that's the pain we're going to feel. All right. Ron from Sheboygan. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Definitely for the tariffs. I'll give you a couple of examples. Very strange that we can't ship our beef to Australia and Argentina. Very strange that you don't see any American cars over in China or in Asia. Very strange that there's a 700% tariff if we ship rice to Japan. These are imbalances that have to be corrected.
How much pain are you willing to take, though, on this question? Because you're like every consumer. We're gonna pay more probably in the short term. And I guess, as Glenn Grothman said, congressman from Wisconsin, we don't know how long that short term is going to be. How much pain are you willing to take?
Well, I'm retired. I work part time. I'm willing to run it out. I think that if we give Donald Trump a chance to prove that it'll work, I believe it will work. Why do we have over 70 countries coming to us asking us to renegotiate? Explain that.
That's a great question. Thanks for the call, Ron from Sheboygan there. I think they don't have a choice. I think a lot of countries, a lot of those countries you just mentioned, I saw the number, I think it was 74 that the president touted either last night or this morning. They do want to negotiate. But here's what my point has been all along. You could have had this negotiation. You could say often in a private setting, you have high-level governmental officials who could have met with these countries, their trade officials, their governmental officials, and said, look, this is not fair. This is not fair to the United States of America. Let's do something about this. And the interesting thing is the president picked a fight with Canada and Mexico, who we already have trade agreements with, that, oh, by the way, the president of the United States, this president, negotiated with him during his first term. That's sort of an interesting dilemma for the president. And I think when we're talking about impact on consumers in this country, what were we told during the election, the run-up to November? Gas and groceries. Right now, gas, okay. High $2. Right now, okay. But look at some of the other stuff. As I said before, China now implementing, as a response, 104% tariff to the U.S. This will be felt. Anything you buy, add that in. Because I can tell you the companies are not going to absorb this. They can't absorb it. And whether that's a tariff tax, a Trump tax, whatever classification you want to use, that is not helpful. So I think Glenn Grothman nailed it when he was talking to John McCure and Julie yesterday. It is a time that we don't know what the window is. How much pain will we take? 855-616-1620. Got a few more minutes on our tariff talk on this Wednesday. Right here on 620 WTMJ. Tariffs, yay or nay? Lots of good thoughts on both sides. I would say the text line, I've got hundreds of texts, probably 3-1 nay versus yay. I haven't said this in a while. Sam from McHenry, Illinois. Got to be quick, Sam. Only have a few minutes here.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Good.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm a yay, but there's two balls we got to look at here. The first ball is obviously our accounts. And everybody's freaking out because mine have dropped too. Okay.
Sure.
But here's the bigger thing that we got to stay focused on now. And this is really serious stuff. I've always said we've had the big three in this economy, the stock market, the auto market, and the housing market. The auto market and the housing market, you know, has been down. Everywhere you drive, you see apartment buildings being built. They're being built on TIF money and they're being built on local tax revenue. In conjunction with investor money. That's our economy now. Everything else has been shipped out of this country. We are at the end of the road here. If we don't see this through and get this thing turned around with China, we are going to lose our economy to a communist regime. We are at that cliff now.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sam. Always entertaining to hear. He's a thoughtful guy, and he's been a loyal listener for a long time. So thanks for Sam from McHenry. Look, I'll kind of wrap it with this. And like I said, there's a lot of thoughts on the text line. I appreciate each and every one of you. And we're actually going to do an Ask Steve Anything for the full 10 o'clock hour today. So I look forward to those conversations, firing up those phone lines and the text line. And I appreciate each and every one of you taking the time to listen on our expanded edition. Good to have the second hour. The thing that I look at is this idea of short-term pain. And as I said a couple times now, as Glenn Grothman, congressman from Wisconsin, indicated, I guess it it depends on how long that short-term pain is. When you have people my age, younger, older, who are looking at their retirement savings and the impact of all of this on their quality of life, how much they'll have going forward. Because when you've stopped working, your ability to absorb the stuff gets even harder. And it's a riddle, really critical piece of what you have to think about every day. So I've heard experts, and I'm air quoting experts, say that if it's a month or two, sure. But if this goes beyond that, and I don't want to be a doom and gloomer because I hate those people, and I hate people that bet against the country or cheerlead for bad news, and we have plenty of those. Just go on Facebook. If I have time, I'll tell a Facebook story later about someone I had to stop following because it just was insane, the things that are being talked about. Look at this issue from your perspective. Take the party, take the politics out of it. How much pain can you absorb? And I'll say this. Yes, we should have fairness in our trade with other countries. And we don't have that. But that's where, if you're going to be someone who calls himself the master negotiator, part of the deal, then you can do those things without doing this. Market performance matters. President, supposedly a billionaire, he probably is not going to be impacted by this. You got $1 billion, you got $20 billion, you're still a billionaire. Doesn't really matter. You can take the hit. That's the critical piece of this, how long that short-term pain actually is. After the break, Dr. Ken Harris on crime rates and numbers in Milwaukee. Always enjoy my conversation with Dr. Ken Harris. You can hear him in the afternoons on The Truth 101.7. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken. Welcome to the program on this Wednesday, Dr. Ken.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So the numbers are out for the first quarter on crime in Milwaukee. And just give you the highlights. I'm curious your thoughts. The part one crimes, those including violent offenses, assaults, rape, arson, that's down 18%. Right. We saw a slight increase in homicides, which is never a good thing, an increase of 2 over the same period last year. Overall, your thoughts on what these numbers suggest about policing in Milwaukee?
I think policing is working. I think there's a couple things that are playing a part in it. We've got parents that are taking more responsibility for their kids. We've got neighbors that are looking out for kids. Schools are getting a little better, you know, even though we complain and I complain constantly about NPS. Mm-hmm. I think that there's some things and programs that they're doing. You've got Scouting America, you've got Girl Scouts, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, boys and girls. You got a lot of input that's really helping kids do things, and so crime, you know, which is ancillary to it, is going down.
Interesting comment from Chief Jeffrey Norman on the slight uptick on homicides. He attributed it to the poor conflict resolution. What does that mean exactly?
You hear the silence? That's exactly what that means. It makes no sense to me. And I know Jeff. It sounds like somebody in communications wrote that response, because any crime is in and of itself a problem with conflict.
Yeah, they haven't figured it out. They committed a crime because they haven't figured it out.
Well, here's what people don't understand. The police cannot stop homicide. Period. End of story. Unless I'm standing there. When it happens, I cannot stop homicide. It is an intimate crime. It is an emotional crime. And I can't be everywhere at every time. So you have to look to people to control their own emotions.
One of the things that we've talked a lot about on this show, and I'm sure you have as well on your program, Truth in the Afternoon, is the arrival now, or the return, I should say, of school resource officers and MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools. Right. I think the number's too small, but I think I'm encouraged by the fact that we have seen, maybe this is a sea change from how the administration in MPS looks at it, maybe not, but I think this so far has been a smooth return of SROs in that school district. Your thoughts?
Well, what was the rough return? Like, what was that? What was the hard part, because they were already there before? It's the idiocy of the school board who decides to complain about stuff that's not an issue. Here's the weird part. The other day, we had a 13-year-old bring a loaded gun to school, and they caught it. Isn't that what it's supposed to do? That's how it's supposed to work? But ask, where are all the shootings in the schools in Milwaukee? I think they're at zero.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the issue we have is that we don't like the police, so we transfer that to school resource officers. Meanwhile, the numbers for the crime were from last quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have resource officers.
Yes.
And the crime's down. I'm just saying.
So when you look at the subject of SROs, do you think we're going to see sort of a normalcy, or as I call it, just common sense and the use of logic in determining whether these are good things? I think they are. I think you do as well. And maybe we'll see an uptick in the number in schools, maybe all schools that make where it makes sense, has school resource officers. Because as they always tell us, when it comes to policing, community-oriented policing is the sort of the magic pill for having a successful future, because those kids learn to respect law enforcement, public safety, versus hating them.
You're 100% true, but we also need to go back and train parents so that they know how to raise their children so they can actually act that way.
Is that happening?
No.
And that's a much bigger question. How do we start? Yes, sir. How do we start to impact that?
Maybe go back to teaching simple things in schools like home economics and civics, things of that nature that gave our generation the ability to love the country and complain at the same time. Now they just complain.
Dr. Ken Harris joining us from 1017 The Truth. I've made this point over and over again. I agree with you completely on that topic. We have fallen in love with giving this rainbow of course options for kids,
right,
when
right.
we have forgotten that what they really need to excel at, or at least be proficient at, is the basics. And when we've sort of watered down this curriculum with all of this cool stuff, and look, I said, if you want to keep that, make the kids earn it. Make sure they're proficient first in the basics. And then that's a treat or a reward for good behavior, good grades, and being proficient in the things that actually will get you jobs, and probably more importantly, a high school diploma.
But the flip side to that is you can't whitewash it either. You have to tell the absolute truth about slavery. You have to tell the truth
absolutely.
About all those things. They've taken a lot of that out of all of the curriculum. So if I went to school today, I couldn't find myself in the history of this country other than slavery.
Can we get that back?
We have to get it back. We have to get it back, because what you're teaching is not accurate. And I get them in college at Concordia University, and students are upset because they realize everything from Washington and the cherry tree to today, every single teacher that taught them history lied to them.
As you approach your show this afternoon, what's front of mind for you? What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I want to be as fresh as possible. I want to complain about some stuff. And it's hump day, so
it is hump day.
You know, I try to do my show prep right before the show, and a couple times I've had a conversation with you that triggered what my show was about. Yesterday I talked about religion and tithing and giving, mm-hmm. and it was rough. It was a rough day.
Yeah, so. I always love our conversations either on the shows, because I join you often on Friday and you join me on Wednesdays. Let's continue that conversation, because I think we're moving forward. Dr. Ken Harris. Thank you,
sir.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll take a break here. Listening, of course, to the first hour of a two-hour expanded Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. Lots more to get to. I got to get the texter some love, because I've got hundreds of texts in the first 42 minutes of the program. So I want to give you guys some love. I'll sample those. Still taking your yay or nays on the tariff situation. On nays are overwhelmingly winning that debate. But love to hear from you. We'll continue that conversation after this on 620 WTMJ. At the beginning of the show this morning, I asked you yay or nay on the tariffs. And as we sort of unwind this story, how it's impacting all of us. Markets are sort of mixed. Dow's down right now about 65 points. NASDAQ up 180. So a mixed day on Wall Street. When you look at this situation, I always go back to the individual or the individual household. A lot of us who do what I do for a living think that everybody is like laser focused on the political news of the day. They're not. They have lives to live, children to raise, you know, work to go to. And I think we sometimes overstate how much attention is being paid. But the impact on your household budget is real. And probably, you know, more appropriately in this conversation about the markets is the impact on your future retirement, if you're going to retire or if you're in retirement. All the things that go into that. And I want to give some love to the text line, 855-616-1620. I love this one, 414. Two things can be true. We need to address our trade imbalance, and perhaps tariffs play a role. But the fact that Congress turned over their power to President Trump is ridiculous. Agree. What I've been disappointed with is the sort of the, we're not going to do our job, you just take care of us attitude that some members of Congress have had with this president. I understand Republicans control both houses. But that's sort of an abdication of responsibility. Also love this text from the 262. I lived and worked in China. I understand the Chinese culture. President Xi will not back down. He will not capitulate. There are people that are very skilled in diplomacy that can work this out. China will not kiss Trump's you-know-what. No, they're not going to. And I guess this idea of a short-term pain, long-term gain idea is sort of a talking point that some Republicans and conservatives are going with. But this next text makes the point that I think we forget about. The problem with costs going up, they rarely ever come back down. They don't. They stay high. I mean, you used to be able to get breakfast for a couple bucks, $2-3. Then it was $5. Then it was $7.99. Now it's $9.99. And depending on where you go, it could be $19.99. And I'm going to be in Vegas having breakfast on Saturday morning, God willing, and I will have a breakfast that will probably cost me $25, but that's Vegas. I know you're not feeling sorry for me. It's part of the price of doing business, as they say, or in terms of Vegas, the cost of gambling in one of the most famous places for doing that. This idea that one person, I don't care if he's the president of the United States, one person has control over this issue is lazy intellectually. And it's lazy when you think about what we send people to Washington, D.C. to do for us. The Glenn Grothmans, the Ron Johnsons, the Senator Tammy Baldwins, Congressman Mark Pocan. I want them to do their jobs. And they've sort of abdicated this. In the case of Pocan, not willingly. In the case of Ron Johnson and Glenn Grothman, yeah, you kind of signed up for this because you're Trump supporters. We're not China. We're not Russia. We're the United States of America, what I still think is the greatest country on this planet. But that's not a given. That has to be earned every day. Earned by our public safety professionals, earned by our members of the military, our veterans. That spirit has to be earned every day, and it has to be desired. We have to think about these things in terms of what's good long-term and short-term. And as we have mixed markets, which is frankly for this president a win, because if we continue to go down this cycle of losing 1,000 points every day, I think this story would be over a lot quicker. And I have a ton of texts that say the same thing, so I'm going to paraphrase. Don't take the president on his word or the administration's word, whether that's Peter Navarro, who heads up trade for the Trump administration, that all these countries want to negotiate. They're probably just pissed off. And whether you think you can win these arguments, we're going to find out. Hopefully not on the backs of U.S. voters, taxpayers, and citizens. Quick break, 620 WTMJ. I love the text line. Thanks to all of those of you who have responded to my yay or nay. Nays won easily, which is not surprising because we're all feeling the pain of these tariff wars. Trump tax soon to come because all these products that you are buying from China and Europe and other places, Australia, Canada, Mexico, they're all going to cost more. So good luck with that. Now, here's something that you can hang your hat on when it comes to the distinction between what I do and what others do. Here's a text I just got. 414. Pathetic rants. Pitiful. You need help. You think any of those other squawkers would read that text? No, they wouldn't. I'll answer my own question. But I do because I think feedback is important. Now, I would argue that you're probably deranged in how you're responding to our civil conversation about tariffs and all this stuff, but you're welcome to listen, of course, and it's a free country, so thanks for the feedback. From the 262, I think Trump loves being the sole negotiator, but I also think with all his executive orders, he is trying to redefine how all these issues must be solved. You have seen the damage done with executive orders. Becoming the law of the land is not right to the rule of law. It's supposed to be determined by the majority, not one person. I talk about abdicating responsibility of Congress. The idea that we just have a president who comes in and just changes the laws with executive actions and orders is stupid. Why do I say that? Because for all those, maybe the pathetic guy is thinking the same thing. Maybe he's not thinking, I should say. Because when a Democrat comes into that position, and that will happen because that's the cycle of government leadership in this country. It always happens, cycles, one party, the other party. What do you think that president's going to do? You don't think, oh, I don't know, the Second Amendment could be impacted by that? Because this president, the current version, Donald J. Trump, has issued executive actions that directly challenge the U.S. Constitution. What's preventing the Democrat who comes in the office from challenging the Constitution and the Second Amendment? And the answer is nothing. In a message, you go, oh, they're not going to listen to me. U.S. Supreme Court, be real careful with this idea of presidential power and authority. Getting really, really close to creating a dictatorship in that position. And that's not what America's about. Just ask the first president, if you could. George Washington. He deliberately said and did not want that to happen. And one's fascination that some people have with politicians and elected officials is also stupid. They're not idols. They're not someone to be emulated. They're leaders. They have work to do. Your work. People's work. So when you have conversations with friends, family, and talk show hosts about this, remember this argument of short-term pain, long-term gain. I guess it matters how it impacts you and your budget. All right, here's what I need from you. At a special second hour today, ask Steve anything. Easy on the tomato questions, but I'll answer if I get one. Anything you want to ask me, ask Steve anything. Full hour next hour.